Hello. You are welcome to Living Seed. We bless the Lord who has enabled us on this program week after week. We believe Him for you that this fellowship in His words will produce out of you a sharp tool for His use in our generation. This edition of Living Seed is still on the guard post for the end time believer. Our studies on First Epistle of John. As the end of the age closes hard on us, we must be steady on our path to heaven as we watch carefully and diligently every guidepost of the Holy Spirit mounted for us. Be careful and be diligent, therefore, as you listen to these instructions today. And as the Lord bless you, do communicate with us for fellowship and counseling. Our address is Living Seed, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Living Seed, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. And as you bow in prayer for this message today, I invite a Bible teacher on this program to bring us the oracles of God. Boragbile Akomi.
Shall we pray together? Father, we honor you. We adore you. We exalt you and we praise your name for all you have been doing for us. Thank you for your faithfulness and thank you for the privilege we have to gather together again at your feet and to study the word of God. We want to ask, Lord, that you release the word unto us. Let it come unto us with grace. Let it come to us with simplicity and let it mix with faith within each one of us. Lord, let it provide for us a guidepost as we move in this end time towards eternity. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. I would like to praise the Lord for the privilege God has granted us to meet again at this point on this program, Living Seed. We thank God for each and every one of you that have accompanied with us over the years and who had also written in expressing your blessings and sometimes your questions over this program. We trust that the Lord will continue to use this to bless both you and ourselves as we continue to prepare ourselves for the end time challenges. By last week, we looked at a guidepost against the end time seduction, the various shades in which the Antichrist is already beginning to manifest itself, but that we found that there's an unction that God has placed within us. There's an anointing which you have received of the Lord that abides in you, such that you don't need any man to inform you that this is wrong or this is right. If you will only go back to study the word of God under the leadership of that Holy Spirit within you, you will soon discover that you don't need so much exposition to know what is wrong, what is contrary to the life of Christ, except you have been already held captive by your own lust. Today, we want to go ahead and take another guidepost as the Holy Spirit is making these things available to us from point to point. Now, we want to look at chapter 2, verse 29, and chapter 3 from verse 1 very quickly to verse 3. We will not be able to go beyond that for today, hoping that the Lord, when He brings us next time, we shall be able to go ahead and look at what God will have us do about abiding and growing and developing the character of the Lord. Now, chapter 2 verse 29 up to chapter 3 verse 4. Or verse 3, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. I would like us to stop there. May God bless his word to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, having dealt with the issue of the guidepost against end time seduction, we need now to look at the guidepost that help us to identify genuine believers. The guidepost that will help us to identify what exactly has God called us into and how not to lose it. But presently, we may not be able to get into that particular guidepost. We will just need to lay this foundation. It looks as if from this point, there are positive instructions again about what we need to pursue as we have handed ourselves to the Lord. But verse 29 of chapter 2 says, if you know that he is righteous, if you know that our Father God and our Master and Lord Jesus Christ is righteous, that is, he does right things in the right ways. He does not do anything that is first and foremost dubious. He does not get involved in anything that is sinful. Now, whosoever claims to be born of God, you then know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. It's like, again, this is the final way to check who is of the Lord or not. Not first of all the miracles, not first of all the eye-sandy explanations and doctrines and the bogus analysis that the end time will come with the spirit of the Antichrist. But when you look into the life of a man, he who doeth righteousness, he who is living right, walking right, and maintaining a right relationship both with God and with man, is the one that is born of him. We cannot claim, say, look, I'm a child of God. Your life has to show it. Your character has to prove it. And that's what that verse 29 begins to say. But we want to go on from that point and begin to see what is the status. What is the status of the end time believer, and what must be the pursuit, what should be the expectation of the end time believer, so that your expectation can also be a guidepost for your life as you are going through this world. You know, our expectation of his coming, expectation of what God promised to make of our lives, ought to become a guiding post that will not allow you to deviate and lose your crown. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's the first thing I would like you to know. Before a man can backslide, he must have forgotten to appreciate the privilege that was offered to us when we came to know Jesus Christ. You remember John chapter 1 verse 12 says, he came unto his own, but his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power. He gave them the right. He gave them the authority to become children of God. Not born of the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but by the will of God. Now, so we realize that the first thing that will not allow you to exchange your birthright for a mess of pottage, as Esau did, was to continue to appreciate what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now that, I don't know how we could quickly go over it and explain it, but I want you to know, one of the issues that matters most in our call as Christians, we're not just being saved because God has decided to pity us and just help us, save us and dump us. No. What God has offered us is a place in his family, not as house boys and house girls, not as mere servants, but as his own sons. And as sons, we are then made heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in your pilgrimage, you need to keep understanding and appreciating this manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And you know, it touched my heart looking at the way John now came exuberantly, joyfully, to bring this angle of our privilege of being God's children. He said, behold, look at this, consider, look at, see how very much our Heavenly Father loves us, for he allows us to be called his children. Think of it. And we really are. Think of this. Consider the incredible love that the Father has shown us in allowing us to be called children of God. And that is not just what we are called, but what we are. God is not just cajoling you and say, let them call you a child of God. No, that's exactly what you are. If you remember 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, 19, 20, he said, I will be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons, and you'll be my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I will receive you unto myself. Now, the privilege of being a child of God is something you cannot offer in exchange for whatever the world system has to offer you. The privilege of possessing God as your father is something that you cannot allow whatever the world is flashing around your eyes to becloud you, as you want to exchange that great privilege, that birthright that God has offered to us, the spirit of adoption, for anything that the world could offer. I want you to know that men can have money, that's good. Men can have cars, they can have houses. But we are not talking about having the cantables. We are talking about God offering himself unto us as our possession. Having God as our father is one great privilege and something peculiar about you when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Say, think about it. The incredible love that the Father has bestowed upon us. The Father has shown us we are called God's children, and that is what we are. We are not just being called so, but that is what we are. But you see, this also explains why the world will no more recognize us than it recognized Christ. Now, I don't want you to forget that, you see, because, you know, as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ began to say he is the Son of the living God, the whole world started running etter scatter against him. They won't recognize him. The same way, the reason why the world system is pursuing you, which hunting you, attacking you, intimidating you, is because they are jealous of the position that God has offered us. And I want to tell you, I do not envy anything that is in the world system. I know that the world system rather is jealous about what God has made us in Christ Jesus. And so they want to rob you of that. They want to take that out of your hand. The devil loves to wreck you out of that position and make you a nonentity, and make you a mere beggar on the street. And that is why all the traps, that is why all the attractions, that is why all the persecutions that come your way. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. If you are a child of God today, if you are born again, I want you to know again that you are not just attending church. You are not just trying to do some activity. What has happened is that God has extended to you a right, a privilege of being his own son or his own daughter. And that's what you are. That alone gives you the privilege of prayer. Then you can say, our Father which art in heaven. You could call him your Father. Now, Romans chapter 8 says, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. Now, not every man has that privilege. Only those that are born of God, only those that are born again, could walk fearlessly into Baba's presence and receive as a bona fide child, not as a beggar. Not as a beggar, not as someone who is just an object of pity. We are not just being made an object of pity. We are made God's own object of love. He actually loved us. He loved us, and that's why he made us his own. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because he never knew Jesus. The world will hate you simply because of that position. And so, brother, sister, if you see the world growing more and more hostile, If you see the world system shouting at you, if you see the world system trying to squeeze you to come into disobedience, all they are looking for is your right. They just want to confiscate that privilege of being a child of God. And my brother, I want to ask you, what will you gain in the world that you will do like Esau, as to sell that birthright, as to exchange that birthright for a spoon of pottage? Is it one time of fornication or some time of scholarship that somebody wants to give you, and that's why you are going to break an eternal relationship that God is bringing you into in His love? Beloved, verse 2, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but presently, even as I'm talking to you now, we are the sons of God. That's what we are now. We are not just hoping that, oh, maybe in heaven we become children of God. No, we are God's children right now. If there's any interest that God has in this present world, you are the interest. If there's any man that God is looking for in that family where you are the one, because you are His child. You are His child, you are His daughter. And all that heavens contain, all that Baba can do for any man, He is ready to do it for you. For this reason, you need to know that for that alone, you are an object of envy for the world system and for the prince of this world, the devil. You remember that as soon as Jesus Christ was born, and He was proclaimed as the King and as the Son of the Living God, Herod, who was a representative of the world system then, became aggrieved. You see how many children were slaughtered just because they were looking for Jesus. Just because they wanted to make sure that that child that was born will never see the light of the day. Now, so the same thing will happen. And don't be surprised if the world system begins to be very, very hostile to you. Don't worry. Don't worry. Since most people don't know God, they don't also understand that we are His children. They take you for granted. They shout around you. But don't forget, they may discredit you as if there's something good, something great, something wonderful in what they are holding. And yet there is nothing there. Now, so the Bible said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You know, that's the great hope. That's the expectation. The expectation is that exactly what He is, that's what we are going to be. Where He is, there we are going to be. Don't forget, it says, so that where I am, you also might be there also. That is what it is. The position in which He is with God, He is going to share that with us. The glory He has with God, He is going to share that with us. The power He has with God, we are going to share that together as joint heir. And because of that, you see, we may not know particularly to discuss, okay, we'll look like Lee, and I don't want you to enter into any form of fantasy and trying to say maybe we will be wearing this kind of dress, we'll be flying here. That's not the issue. The issue is that whatever He is, that we shall be also. The Bible says, now, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, what then is the guidepost that we are dealing with now? Now, the Bible now says, and every man that has this hope in him, what do? They purify himself, even as he is pure. Now, the reason why you now need to prepare yourself, to purify yourself, to set yourself away from every mundane thing that can contaminate your faith and your relationship with God, anything that could bring your life down into discredit, anything that can draw you down to the level of a sinner, to the level of a useless nonentity in this world, to become a worldly, running up and down mundane things, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. Now, because we have a hope, there's something God has said we are going to become. For this, the Bible said, and every man that has this hope in him. Now, one of the guideposts is that you see, as you're passing through this world, you see flashy things. You see colleagues who through the hook or crook, they are seemingly making it according to the definition of this world. You might be tempted as if you should branch and sit down in their club and sit down at their level and begin to and forget that you are going somewhere. But don't forget. Now the Bible says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. If this hope is inside of you, which is the first thing that will help you to pull through every situation around here, the hope of the believer, the hope of what God is about to make of your life, the hope of that place, that position, that glory, that honor, that estate that God is preparing, you know, for your life, is enough to keep you going. A man that has an hope in himself, he cannot allow his life to be scattered on the way. A man that has an expectation of what God wants to make of him, he can endure whatever he meets on the way. A man that has a vision for the days ahead, for the future, he does not accept any temporary position as his destination. Actually, a man that understands his destiny will always regard every place he is now, every current attainment, he doesn't see it as a destination. He doesn't see it as something to hold tightly to. He sees it as temporary places and stepping stones onto greater heights. And as an end-time believer, I want to again remind you, there is a hope set before you. There is a joy set before you. There is a glory set before you. Don't settle for here. Don't settle in this wilderness. I want you to know that whatever you are passing through here, whether positive or negative, they are temporary. They are temporary because you are a man of destiny. You are going somewhere. God has an appointment with you and for your life on the other side. God is waiting for you. Heavens are waiting for you. Elders, patriarchs, men of old, men of God, those that have labored and fought, they are waiting for you. A crown is waiting for your head. How dare you sit down here by the roadside? How dare you join men that are not going anywhere? I tell you, most of the men of this world, they are going nowhere. Everything about them will perish here. They have no treasure anywhere else. That's where their heart is always here. Now listen, if you have this hope in yourself, you will do something. You will purify yourself. You will purify your life. You will make sure that anything that can contaminate you does not come in. And in this end time, you need more to do about keeping yourself pure, even as Jesus kept himself pure. Now let's look at what I'm saying from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible said, looking unto Jesus. Maybe we should read from verse 1, verse 2, even verse 3. Wherefore see you also, we also, are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to look at this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, because of the joy that was set before him, because of the car, because of the place, because of the position that God has set ahead of him, what did he do? He did not mess around. He endured the cross. And dear brother, there is a glory ahead of you. There is a hope that God has set before you. Now you must not lose sight of that hope. Don't lose sight of your destiny. I say to you, your destiny is not on this side of eternity. Your destiny is on the other side. God has an appointment, you know, with your life beyond the river. You dare not die a mediocre here. You dare not join those that are playing around in the world. Those who have nothing to do in eternity, who think that everything about their lives will end on this side. Now, because Jesus continued to see the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. He didn't regard the shame of the cross as something to bother himself with. He rather went for the throne. He rather went for what God has said before him. And again, I say to you, if you also have this hope in yourself, if you also have this desire that when he appears, you want to be like him, because we shall see him as he is, then you must purify yourself. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself uncontaminated. Keep yourself from the world system. That's one thing you should note. Don't forget that God is preserving something eternal for your life. He has brought into his family to have a share in himself. Don't settle for less. Don't go for the ephemeral. Don't go for that which will perish. Don't go for that which the devil is flipping around right now. It's a bait. Don't go for that. God is waiting for you on the other side. The saints of old are waiting for you. Men of God are waiting for you. May you never miss your place, and on that last assembly, may your seat not be vacant in the name of Jesus Christ.
And Father, we thank you and bless your name for what you have given us. Give us the insight into what you have made us, so that no matter the attraction and the temptation that the devil brings to us, it will not be enough for us to throw away the position you have offered us. Thank you that this you will do to many of your children, and deliver us from the temptation of the devil. For in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Do you know that God has offered himself as a possession to you if you'll be born again? Think of it. What great love. But are you careless enough to allow the devil to trap you in sin and in careless living, to deny you the greatest privilege? Don't play into his hands. He envies you. Stay pure and stay true to God now, for soon we will be like him. Hold fast to this hope, and it will soon be realized. Write us as you address your letters to Living Seed, PO Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Living Seed, PO Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. God bless you.